I want to thank God for the scripture that we have this morning. He's used it to encourage me in my prayers of late, and I believe that the Lord wanted me to share it this morning with you to encourage you. The Lord's given me the scripture at times in the past too, but I'll tell you, as I get older, just pray for me, because it seems like that getting up here and speaking and getting my thoughts together is getting harder and harder. And also it seems like that the enemy is fighting me harder. So I desire your prayers. Pray for us before Sunday morning. Pray for us during the week that the Lord will, that he'll help me. I think that as you get older, that your flesh gets weaker, and the tendency to pamper and sympathize with your flesh gets stronger. So I'd like you to pray for me. Look like you would just feel a lot more able and capable after you've done this for a long time, but I don't. So, and Isaiah 49 and 24, we have a question here. And he's been talking to the Israelites, and we find that many of the things that he gave to them for their day applied to their day, but it also applied in a prophetic way to the church in the future from this day after Christ came and established the church. We find that Israel had enemies and the church has enemies. And we can also, it's allowable, it's just fine in the scriptures to apply many of these to our personal walk. We have a personal enemy also. So you can look at all of these and think about Israel, how that they had gone away from the Lord, and all through the books of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, those prophets were warning Israel and predicting and foretelling the carrying away captive of the children of Israel into Babylon. So a lot of these verses have to do with that. And then when the Lord would give him that warning and prophecy, then he would turn and he would give him scriptures of hope and promise that you're going to come back and that God's going to restore you, and he's going to restore your riches and your glory. And the Lord did that. Also, these scriptures, as I said, refer to the church and the many times of battle, of ebb and flow in history, of God's Spirit working and people then going and backsliding and going into apostasy, and then God coming and restoring. It's just an onward story, an ongoing story of God and his people. And so this in 49, I love the whole chapter 49. It really is a wonderful prophecy of Christ and his dealings with us as people in redeeming us and saving us. So in chapter 49, verse 24, he asks the question, "Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered?" That's a question we can ask about the unsaved, even in our battles today. And I find that the Lord has given me this as a comfort when I have been praying for the unsaved. And you think about people that are taken captive of the devil. I believe when Paul was talking to Timothy, he explained it that way. He said, "Be gentle to people, to all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. Peradventure, God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So this talks about captives. This talks about the prey. Somebody has sought after them, run after them, chased them down until they got them, and they're in their clutches. That's, you think about prey that way, P-R-E-Y. That's how you spell that. Shall that prey that's been taken captive, shall that be taken away from the mighty or the lawful captive delivered? What is the lawful captive? I would think that it's talking about prisoners of war, that if one country completely overcame the other, their army was bigger, they fought harder, or maybe they took out more people and overcame them, then they take those captives back to their country. And it was a lawful thing in the time of war for them to do that. So he's saying here, are you going to take the prey away from someone who's mighty, who's terrible, who's fierce, who strikes awe and fear through the heart of his enemies? You going to be able to take that away? Are you going to be able to even the lawful captive, somebody who they were overcome. They yielded. They succumbed. They didn't fight hard enough or whatever. I've thought about this in a lot of ways, but this is the question. Shall even these? Now think about the unsaved today. I used to think about someone who I knew had rebelled against God and brought many of their troubles on their own head, so to speak, and had gone away. And I thought, well, that's a lawful captive. They chose their way. They just went against all instruction and reproof and the mercy of God and the goodness of God, and they're just out there, and this just, they're a lawful captive. They're Satan overcame them, and it's of their own doings. It's the judgment of God on them, all of these things. And I used to think about that, and I'd think of this verse. Can you take those away? Can you even, if you have a burden, can you pray for people who are out there on their own will and they've been taken captive by Satan? Can you deliver them? But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away. I think the Lord wants to encourage his church. And in all times, in this time of Israel, when they had walked away from God and served idols, and time after time God had delivered them and brought them back and sent them prophets, he woke those prophets up early, he said, and sent them to deal with children of Israel. Not just one, but many. There were two and three sometimes prophesying at the same time, the same thing. You look at Isaiah, you look at Micah, they were contemporaries. They said many of the same thing to Israel, warning them, pleading with them, reasoning with them. Israel still got taken captive. They were a lawful captive. They should just, in human terms, you think, you chose your road, just stay there. It's where you ought to be. But no, God has mercy on people. He loves people. He looks at them, and even though they've chosen to go away from him, and they maybe deserve the bondage that they're in, he looks at them. It says, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall he be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. This was spoken to Israel at that time, whenever he looked forward 70 years. And you know, at the end of the 70 years that Israel was to come back, some of those countries that they went to didn't want to let go of them. They wanted to keep them, but the Lord intervened. The Lord sent deliverers, and they brought the children of Israel back to Zion. And even when they got back, some of those enemies that tried to keep them from coming back into Israel and to Jerusalem, the Lord was in that that move. It was his will that they should come back. And he sent Nehemiah and he sent Ezra. He worked things out with King Cyrus to allow those people to come back and to supply the needs for them to build their city and their walls again. It's a wonderful story how God delivered Israel back from Babylon and brought them home. And that's what this scripture was originally meant for. But it's wonderful about God's word because it applies over and over and over again. And I found as I read it that it applied for me. It applied for my encouragement. Anyway, it applied for them. I will contend with him that contendeth with thee. There's story after story we could tell about the Israelites. How God came in many, many times and delivered them from those kings that fought against him. Think about Sennacherib in the time of Hezekiah. Do you remember that story? How that he came against the children of Israel and Hezekiah spread his letter of scorn and disbelief and mockery against God. He spread it out before the Lord. And what did the Lord do? He sent an angel. He killed 185,000 of them and sent them back home. God can do anything. If we cry to him, if we pray to him like Hezekiah does. And I want to tell you one thing we're fighting. We're fighting this questioning, unbelieving spirit that wants to crowd in on us in our times of prayer and say, you can pray for them all you want, but it won't happen. You know they've chosen that. You know it's just nearly impossible for them to come back. They've said so many harsh things against the Lord. They deserve all the judgment that they're getting. All of this stuff can come from the devil into our ears when we're trying to pray. But this scripture cuts across all of it. You and I can come before the Lord and we can look at this scripture and we can say, Lord, you can deliver even the lawful captives, even those that have chosen their own way, even those that have sinned against you, and this is what you sent them. You can bring them back. You can do that, Lord, and we can come to him in faith. I'm thankful for this. There's scriptures about what Jesus did and his death and resurrection. I believe it's Psalm 68. There's the prophecy. And verse 18. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Oh, you might have looked at Israel back then and said, they're just so rebellious. They'll just never come back. They just can't. They just won't believe again. They're just going to be stuck out there, just always going to choose that. And we can look at people that way too. We can just look at people and we can just think, they're just so hard. They just have so much unbelief. But the Lord has given us promises that we can pray. We can go against that because the Lord, he is contending for us. He's fighting that battle. It's really his battle. It's his battle against the foe. And he says to us, you take up my quarrel with the foe. You come along and join with me in prayer and in working for souls. And when we do that, we're fighting against an enemy, and the enemy's going to try to hinder us, discourage us. He's going to try to prevent us. He's going to bring doubts and fears and afflict our bodies and our minds. Also, we can't get in there and work with the Lord for souls. But I believe we should just do it anyway. We should just take courage because he said, I'm going to contend with those who are contending with you. Every time you get an arrow of opposition shot your way, I'm going to be right there to deal with it. And the Lord is. He is so faithful to us. But this verse, thou hast led captivity captive. That was applied to Jesus Christ in Ephesians chapter 4 when he talks about the gifts given to the church. He used this scripture and he applied it to Jesus in salvation and the establishing of his church. In Ephesians 4 and 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. I believe he said it again in Hebrews chapter 4. Well, he speaks in chapter 4 of him being the great high priest that has passed into the heavens. And I believe it's in chapter 10 where he says, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. So he's not just sitting on the right hand of God doing nothing, but he is sending help our way. He is fighting a great fight. He's still conquering and sent forth to conquer. He is interceding for us. He is interceding for souls. I believe he told Peter, I have prayed for you. Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. Jesus prayed for Peter. Jesus prayed for us. Jesus still intercedes and prays to the Father for us. He said there in Isaiah, I will contend with them that contend with thee. And I believe he does that. So he applied this to Jesus Christ. When he ascended up on high, there was a metaphor here used for how when armies back then, when they went and they took a city and they conquered it, they would go back to their own city with flags flying. They would go in a train in a big procession. And he refers this to Jesus Christ when he had died and rose again. And he ascended up to heaven. There, you can just picture his ascent. Spiritually, he was conqueror. He had conquered the devil. He had led captivity captive. He had taken, what was it that he did when he died in Hebrews 2:15 or 14? He threw death, he might destroy them that had the power of death, that is the devil. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That's what he did when he ascended up on high. He was leading captivity captive, or the thing that had gotten men, the thing that had held captive men, the enemy, the devil, the fear of death, the power of death, the power of the grave. He destroyed it through his own death. He destroyed that power. And now as he ascended up on high, he was the Lord mighty in battle. There's a scene of that in Psalms 24 and verse 7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. If you can imagine, this is what I believe said as Christ ascended up on high. He ascended up as conqueror, as one who was leading a train of captives behind him. We got this. We conquered this. This is our spoils. We're taking them away. And it says, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. There was someone inspired to write a book. And in the book, they saw this as a scene happening of Christ ascending up. And as he got close to the gates of heaven, this is what was said, a loud voice, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." And someone else said, "Who is this King of glory?" And the others said, "The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle." And then the gates of heaven swung open, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the mighty warrior, the one who defeated the devil, he came in and he took his place at the right hand of his Father. And that's what he's still doing. He is still conquering. He's still mighty in battle. He's still contending with those who contend with his people, whether it be his church at large and all of the enemies that have come against the church all of these years. The Lord has been right there to help his people, to still lead captivity captive, to still destroy the works of the devil, to still, he's ransomed souls. He has bought them. He's redeemed them. He paid the redemption price to redeem them from the hand of the enemy and to bring them back. That's what all of this was about, was these people had been taken captive and he was bringing them back. Bringing them back home. Our loved ones and people that we're concerned about today, I'm thinking about the awful drug epidemic here. Everywhere you go, it's what's on people's minds. It's in our newspapers. There's all kinds of organizations being set up. And we need to pray. We need to keep praying. Lord, break the power of this thing. There's always something new coming up. But it's the same old power of the devil. We don't need to just drop our heads and think, oh, it's just, there's just nothing you can do about it. These people are choosing this. They're the lawful captives. This says, shall they be delivered? And the answer is, even the mighty. Even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away. Let's be encouraged praying against this awful drug epidemic. Let's use God's word as we pray. Lord, take away the prey from the hand of the mighty. Take away the prey of the terrible. Deliver these people from drugs. He said, I will contend with him that contendeth. Hey, there's my water. With thee, and I will save thy children. If you run into anyone today or in the future, and they're troubled about their loved ones and this drug epidemic, this is something that you can give them. Give them this scripture. Even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away. Because I feel like the Lord gave me that for the ones that I'm praying for. I feel like that the Lord wants us to be encouraged and not pray with such... it seems like we can pray with hopelessness. You know, we can pray and say, well, it's my duty to pray. I got to do this. But let's pray with faith, with expectation. This is God's word. He can do it. He can break the power of the devil. We don't know the force of his contention with. We know the Lord can speak to people. One thing that he said about Israel is he said, what more could I have done than what I did? What he did was powerful. What he's done, his salvation is still powerful. The gospel still frees people. If people will believe in him, and you say, well, that's the deal. The devil's got him where they won't believe in him. We can pray against unbelief. We can fast. We can weep. There's promises to those who take the word of God and sow it with weeping and with tears. He said, doubtless you'll come again rejoicing, bearing precious, bearing sheaves, bringing the sheaves with you. Well, I'm just thankful for the many encouraging scriptures that he's given us, for the picture of of triumph that we get here, of Jesus triumphing over all of these enemies. I believe it says in the New Testament, he triumphed over them by in his cross. He is the Lord, strong and mighty. And his church is, I believe it says, terrible as an army with banners. Why? Because we follow him, because we enter into his train, because we're part of the procession of conquerors. That's what it says. There's a scene in Revelations. Where he, in chapter 19, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That's who we follow, and that's who we are. We're the white horse army, clothed in fine linen, holiness unto the Lord. When we are saved and we've defeated the devil and he's given us a new life, we're a part of an army. We're following the one who is conquering and to conquer. We're right with him in the victory procession. That's what the Lord has written here. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Wrath against whom? People? No. Wrath against the great enemy, the devil. He treads the winepress, the blood that cleanses from sin. It is also the blood that satisfied the wrath of Almighty God. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's another scene in Revelation. I want to think just a little bit about I will save thy children. Now that is a promise that we can take personally. But I think about it as when the church is pictured as the bride. It's pictured in Revelations as the woman clothed with the sun. Revelations chapter 12. And it said that she was with child and travailing in birth. Now this is, I believe, accurately translate or what's the word I'm thinking of? The meaning given here of the woman is that she is the church. And she was travailing with birth and with child and travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. I believe this is speaking of the church bringing forth the converts there when Jesus had ascended up to heaven. He sent the Holy Spirit and they begin to preach everywhere and the Lord began to save souls. Immediately after those souls began to be saved, there became great persecution against them. And that's what this picture is here. She was travailing in birth, pain to be delivered. And verse 4 says, the dragon stood ready to devour her child as soon as it was born. That dragon was the persecuting power against the church. They begin to take those believers and haul them into jail and break up their assemblies. And they tried to, they put the disciples into prison and they beheaded James and they were getting ready to behead Peter. So this great persecuting power. I believe that same persecuting power is against us and against the church right now. To persecute any converts, to try to get them away, to try to devour them, we have that same enemy. But Jesus said, I will contend with them that contend with thee. And you have here the war. He talks about the war. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon did not prevail. Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. These are the promises that we have. The power of the persecuting pagan religion that was cast out. It was cast out of the high place where it was. And he said in verse 10, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Well, it tells here in verse 17 that the dragon, after this conflict, he went to make war with her seed. That's us. He's been warring against the church ever since. But the Lord said, I'll contend with them that contend with thee, to his church. He said that to us. And we find there's a great contention in trying to win souls. And then after those souls are saved, the enemy would want to destroy them immediately. But we have this promise that the Lord is going to contend with him. Where was it? I believe that Apostle Paul spoke about laboring and travailing in birth for the people that he was working with. The church is going to be that way. The church is going to be as a laboring and travailing woman to bring forth souls. There's going to be travail, prayer, fasting, weeping. We know that there is this enemy on hand. I can't find that right now. But and the other scripture I've been thinking about is in Psalms 126. Encouragement here to those who sow the seed. 126:5-6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I'm thankful for these wonderful promises today. The Lord wants us to be encouraged in praying for the unsaved, in laboring for the unsaved. We need to claim his promise. We need to pray with hope. And I trust the Lord will bless these few words to your hearts.